Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
Just terrific.
Besides having a fucked up face.
I do have a fucked up face, but that's nothing new. I'm doing really well. I have a, it's baseball playoffs right now. The boys are in the playoffs. They won game one, which is like, once the playoffs start, it's like, go, 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 go. And so there's a little bit of like, you know, this team's really good and it wouldn't be that great of a loss to lose to this really good team.
Yeah. Like, meh, yeah.
Cause like summer ball starts right after playoffs. Right, you've got playoffs, and then you got summer ball.
Yeah, baseball is so long.
Yeah, I mean it's just a lot too. So, we're still in the playoffs. They had their in between game practice tonight, and then another game tomorrow. So it's fun though, man. It's exciting. The boys are into it. They're, you know, it's kind of like the first time they're playing real baseball. Like they're, you know, turning the occasional double play and. Like catches are crisp, throws are crisp. I mean, some of them.
The occasional one, they're like, "Yeah, you did it."
Yeah, that's right.
When I picked up Wes the other day from school, I don't remember how we got on the topic, but we started talking about baseball, and it's a 90-second drive from school to our house.
Yeah,
and we get there, and he is like still sitting in the front seat trying to talk about baseball. And I was like, I want to get out of the car because I need to go back to work. Because I like frequently will be in a meeting and I will just pull up the meeting on my phone and go pick up the kids and then drive home.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
In the midst of the meeting. And I'm like, hey, I mean, I got to go back inside because I'm not missed, obviously, but I got to go back to work. And he goes, okay, thanks for the baseball conversation. It's like... You're welcome.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're getting into it, too. You know, I turned on the Mariners game tonight before I came over to record, and Kim was like, I was going to watch a show, and the boys were both like, we're going to watch the baseball game.
Yeah, we can watch baseball. It's fine. You can watch your show later. Your show is on Netflix.
And then even Betty came in, and she was like, Mom, it's the A's. Like, and I was like, yes, it's all working out.
You've done it. You've done it.
So even Betty was like, Mom, it's the A's. You know, this is the Mariners, the A's. We got A's.
Like, yeah, let's kick the shit out of Oakland. What's up?
This is it. Yeah, this is it. Oh, man, I got to tell you, watching games being played in Oakland right now is rough. It's rough. For you Bay Area folks, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it is rough watching those games, like borderline depressing. There's like 17 people.
Oh, yeah.
And they're shuttering the stadium. I mean, it's... Whew. Woof.
Are they moving?
They're moving to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, I forgot about that. I knew that. And then, so I'm trying to convince a group of friends to go to Las Vegas this October. Because October's a really good time to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, not too hot, but still like beautiful.
It's still like 80 degrees, right? It's like perfect, especially when you come from the Pacific Northwest where you're leaving like 50 and rainy to go to like 80, 85 and sunny. And I looked at the weekend that I was proposing because the flights are cheap. It's like $250. West Point is playing UNLV at Allegiant. Tickets are $100. Allegiant? No, $100?
That's cheap.
To go see college football, to go see UNLV and West Point.
I mean,
they should offer football. Like, no, that's crazy. Because last year we went about the same time and the Raiders were playing at home against the Patriots that week, or maybe not the Patriots.
I mean, like, let's compare. They were like $600. In terms of Vegas things you could do, like, let's compare this to tickets for. Whatever, Wayne Newton, right?
$60. You go to any show on the street, or on the strip, it's $60 to $100. But you go to Allegiant, you want to go see the Raiders play, and you go to like StubHub or Ticketmaster or like any like first party supplier, they're $600 or more. when the weekend that we were there last year, I looked at Raiders tickets because the Raiders are playing at home. They were $800.
I don't want to tell you how much I paid for my season tickets for the Ducks next year.
$800. I have more than that.
I mean, not per seat.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
It's wild. It's nuts, yeah. I don't like the sports industrial complex.
Not $800 per seat per game. I'll just clarify. It wasn't that expensive.
No.
Per seat per game, it's less than $800.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, though.
But how are you? Allegiant isn't that even that nice.
No, like, Allegiant's nice. It's a nice place. I like it. You know what it's better than? It's better than Angel Stadium in Anaheim.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just trying to pay off the building costs. I don't know. I want to go see the Seahawks play in Vegas, and I think maybe that's a trip we should take in the next couple of years. Dude, here is to go see the Hawks play at Allegiant, because it's cheap to get to Vegas. It's not crazy expensive to stay in Vegas, especially if you're just going for like two nights.
You can always figure it out.
Yeah, but we should go see the Hawks play in Vegas.
Well, Andrew, we're not here to talk about insane college football prices or anything like that. We're here to talk about watches, and there are watches to be talked about. We missed a couple weeks.
And it was the right time to miss a couple weeks because we're right on the heels of Watches and Wonders, like the real heels of Watches and Wonders, and every brand is kind of taking a breath. Kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say, it felt like it was kind of like watch releases were few and far between. I mean, there's always watches being released, but then it was like, boom, 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 boom. Yeah,
Watches and Wonders, like, typically you see a couple weeks, like, at the conclusion of the event, where everyone takes a step back and it's like, okay. But that didn't happen. We had, like, 2 weeks after Watches and Wonders,
and they just
that was just like constant. It was a revolving door of, hey, we didn't make the deadline, but this is here. This is here. And it was mayhem. And now we're kind of in our little bit of a breather, but there's still some hot fire coming out. There's some things that are maybe Watches and Wonders worthy, but just like didn't.
I mean, I don't think there's like necessarily a standard, right? Like the Watches and Wonders releases, you get the novelties, which are cool, but I mean, I think it's more just the volume. It's not necessarily the caliber of the releases.
I don't know. I feel like Watches and Wonders is volume for sure. And a lot of brands are like, look at this cool thing that we did.
Yeah,
look at this cool thing. Look at this cool thing. We didn't need to do it, but we did it because it's cool.
Yeah.
But we saw kind of, we didn't see a cliff. I feel like we've seen in previous years, we've kind of seen it be kind of the starting gun for this year of releases. And there's some cool stuff coming out. And I'm going to start. And I'm going to start because this is a, like, for me, what should have been a Watches and Wonders release. Oh, nuts. My phone
connected. He saw me reach for my phone and he was like, I'm going to start.
I am going to start because this is really cool. And it's proprietary. It's new, like truly new.
He is 100% stalling. I just want to confirm this for you at home who are wondering.
Page to load.
Stalling. This is pure stall tactics.
No, I don't want hot dog pretzel dogs. That's not.
Do you want me to announce it for you?
Shut the fuck up. IWC. You knew.
I didn't know. Of course I knew.
IWC unveils Ceralume, the first fully luminous ceramic watch. So this is still in development phases. This is maybe the coolest, not the coolest design or watch by a long shot, but the coolest thing that I have seen in watches, perhaps since the automatic movement.
Oh, stop it.
This is dope.
Stop it.
IWC has unveiled their prototype plan for a fully loomed watch. And I don't just mean fully loomed, like, oh, the dial's loomed and there's some loom in the case. No, this bitch is DLC'd, coated with loom, fully loomed dial, fully loomed strap.
Is it DLC? I thought it was made from this compound.
It's got to be a DLC application to the steel.
I think it's actually a ceramic case. It's a luminous ceramic case, unless I'm reading this wrong. It's a new ceramic compound made with homogeneously mixing ceramic powders with high-grade superluminova pigments.
Yes. The way I read it was that it's like an application to the ceramic and not necessarily like a comp. But maybe it's, I don't know, I'm not smart. I'm not a metallurgist or a...
I mean, I could be wrong. I think that this is a ceramic watch, like IWC is known to do.
This is dope. This is some groundbreaking technological advancement, like R&D stuff, which kind of surprises me out of IWC. I feel like this would be like a Bell & Ross.
Well, Bell & Ross has done a fully luminous case, but it's not this.
It's not this. This is cool.
Yeah, so they did their like resin, their loomed resin.
Yeah.
Loom series a few years ago that was, well, like glow in the dark, right? This is I think a luminous ceramic case through and through. It's terrific. It's cool.
And the strap, like this is some shit.
So still in prototype phase, but it was Lewis Hamilton was wearing this at Monaco GP
mm-hmm.
this last week. I think like riding around on a scooter.
You know, as one does. And kind of who cares about what the platform is being used for?
How does she think Lewis Hamilton's net worth is? It's got to be a lot, right?
You know, I bet it's lower than you'd expect, though.
Why do you think that? It's $260 million, which I guess
it's, you know, that's a lot, but it's also not where you'd kind of expect him to be at, given the lifestyle.
How does that compare to like Roger Federer?
I bet Federer's worth
$550 million. Yeah. So it's higher than Rafa, $220 million, and Novak, $240 million, but not Federer, who's $550 million.
But Federer's also got, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like F1 guys are, they make money. They make money.
Yeah, but Federer's not just got his money, but he's got sponsorships, and he's got.
So does Lewis Hamilton. But
2 decades of it. I mean, Federer's been a famous tennis player since he was like 6.
Oh, Roger. This watch is cool, and I do like the strap, and it looks significant in the dark, and it's IWC. I mean, the watch is IWC, which is to say,
it's perfectly boring.
Yeah.
This is super cool, and I think it kind of cracks the door onto like a new thing that we might be seeing. I'm sorry, dude. I cannot stop looking at the right angle abrasion.
I hit my head on a dugout eve this week, and there's a large wound right in the middle of my forehead, and Andrew's transfixed.
It's a perfect right angle. It's like I can tell exactly what you hit.
All right, so since you jumped in to talk about this glow-in-the-dark IWC watch, you're a little...
All glow-in-the-dark.
You're like, it's like a little kid's Timex. I'm going to talk about something that's a little weird. So Tag Heuer. I'm going to use slurp you. Tag Heuer introduced a few years ago a full revamp of their Aquaracer line. Including the really, really terrific 200 Aquaracers, but also a revamped 300 Aquaracer. And I think that the general consensus from everybody was these watches were fantastic. In particular, the 200 was fantastic. Excuse me. But the 300s were just a little bit chunky.
Yeah.
Chunky, like just the proportions were a, like...
They were just a little too tooly, like a little too beefy.
It's just...
It was a bit of a miss.
The proportions maybe were a little dated.
Which consistent with Tag design at the time.
It seems like Tag has heard those complaints and has introduced two new Aquaracer 300s with new dimensions. So there's the date Aquaracer and the GMT Aquaracer, and they've just sort of trimmed everything up. So 43 to 42 millimeters on the case, not a ton, but it's, I understand,
significant for a big flat watch though.
I understand that's going to be a significant change. And they also lower the proportions on the lug to lug, which is a real, when you're talking about watches this size, going from 50 to 48 millimeters is a really significant jump. This watch is just gonna wear better, I think. Same terrific bracelet. But they did one other thing here, which I am like, man, they really made some moves here. So they got rid of the ETA movements. They had perfectly serviceable 2824 in the date and a 2893 GMT in the GMT. They have eschewed those ETA movements for AMT movements. AMT is Salita's sort of like higher end. Mm-hmm. Movements and they've swapped in AMT movements to these, which are terrific movements, really well finished.
I'm wondering though, when they say exclusive to Tag, what that means, like what is exclusive about these movements? Because we know these are AMT movements. What's making them exclusive to Tag?
Well, I think
they can put it in the sales pitch.
I think that's it, right? They're just references that AMT is only giving to Tag Heuer. I mean, I don't know that there's anything else to it. Frankly, I don't actually even know if that's true, but I think that's my take on it.
Says they're exclusive to Tag.
These are terrific movements, by the way. They're chronometer certified, yeah. 80-hour power reserve. They're super thin, so these watches each come in at 12 millimeters thick, which for big dive watches it is terrific. These are 3,600 for the date and 4,200 for the GMT. Jeez, Louise.
When I saw these, I made an uh-oh sound because the Seamaster has kind of been
calling your name, like a Pro 300, or
yeah, and I saw these with the just the slightly improved proportions. And I was like, oh man, this could be it. And I was at the grocery the other day and saw the store manager wearing, I don't know, probably a 20-year-old. So like a weirdly sized, and it was probably quartz, Aquaracer. And I was like, ooh, shit. That looks good. And when this blue, I saw this blue today, I became conflicted. This is like a very real Seamaster Pro competitor. These proportions are right. The size is right. The design is there. This is a banger.
Yeah. No, I think
that's... And the price. These are $3,600 to $3,800.
Yeah, for the date, for the regular dive watch. I think that's right. I mean, you know, these are at least at MSRP slightly more expensive than, for instance, like the Longines. They're about the same as cheaper than the Omegas. I mean, this is actually a pretty good value proposition when you think about what this watch is.
I think this is a move by Tag Heuer to position themselves in the, maybe is even better than a competitor to Omega, right? I mean, Tag is doing an enormous rebranding effort.
How much is a new Seamaster 300?
45?
I think it's more than that. Let's see. Used 5,000 on Bob's for the basic on a bracelet. This is 5,600 for 5,600 for a 42 millimeter, or 5,900 for a 42 millimeter Seamaster Diver 300 black dial on steel.
And these are 48 on steel.
38
on steel?
Yeah, the GMT.
No, 42 on steel, sorry.
I thought 42 for the GMT.
So date GMT on bracelet, 42.
What do you have? You have the Oris Aquis, you have the Seamaster 300, you've got, you know, some Longines
stuff
in there.
This is like used Black Bay space.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I think I have to say that TAG Heuer's back in the market.
I think they're probably pricing themselves deliberately so to be really, really competitive in this market to try to overcome the 90s.
And I love this watch. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this watch.
No, not a single thing. I mean, you have a COSC exclusive movement. The design is great. This is like classic
ceramic bezel. I mean, this has got all the bells and whistles. There's nothing, I think there was that period of time where it felt like the tag watches didn't really compete. They were like different
and they kind of hung on to quartz, and their brand ambassadorship in the 90s and like 2000s was they hitched their carts to the wrong horses. And they've done some things in the last 10 years to really course correct, and now they're coming out punching. Mm-hmm. And we've said this for years now, is that TAG is one of the most exciting brands in the industry right now, because they're doing so much to try to get out from under the shit that they've built. And they're doing the thing, right? Like TAG and Timex, I think, are the two brands that I'm most intrigued by right now in the industry.
And let's be clear, you might not love this watch. This is going to be people that don't love this watch. The decagonal?
Are you saying decagonal?
The 12-sided bezel is probably not for everyone. The case on these things is a little bit angular.
Seamastery. It's like 80s. Yeah, it holds this interesting.
You've got a magnifier at 6 o'clock
I could do without that Cyclops.
So there are some design things going on here. Personally, I think I don't have any problem with these things, but this is just like a caveat. Like, you might not, but I think you nailed it, right? They're right there in, they're priced super competitively. I'm sure you're right. It's super deliberate.
Yeah.
This is a terrific watch.
They're doing some cool things. And since we're talking about two of the brands that
Decagonal?
I don't think there's a word for it, because I think that we've created it.
Decagonal.
Decagonal? You're disgusting. So I just said moments ago that TAG Heuer and Timex are the two most exciting brands to me in the industry right now. With that, we're going to talk about the Timex and James Brand collaboration automatic GMT titanium set. And this is hot fire. James Brand out of Portland, we met. His name's not James. Why can't I think of his name?
It's not James. What is his name? Yeah, I'm blanking on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've forgotten your name. You should have named it after yourself and not after some other fella.
He doesn't listen to our show.
Probably. No, he didn't at the time. And it's been 2 years, so maybe he's listened to an episode. We met him at Wind Up a couple of years ago. James Brand out of Portland. It was fun to like meet somebody and be like, oh no, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah, you guys grew up like a block away from each other,
like,
right?
And we knew all the same places, and you know, all three of us are being from Portland, knew all the same places. We grew up generally in the same time frame.
His name was Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan, I think Ryan Coulter.
So Timex. collaborated with the James brand, which is an everyday carry knives, tools, things that you bring with you that are deliberately designed to be comfortable, to be useful, very much in that cutting edge of EDC world to just make your life more better, collaborated on a GMT. And this thing is one of the best releases from Timex that I've ever seen.
Yeah, like literally
ever. This is fucking phenomenal. So this is a 41 millimeter barrel-shaped case, 9075 movement, true GMT, which is it's just a GMT movement, butterfly clasp, all titanium, black case, or excuse me, black dial, black bezel, lime green highlights. This is amazing. The box set is $750, and I'm here for it. Box set comes with a titanium bracelet, rubber strap. This is all the things we've been wanting from a brand like Timex. Like, do some cool shit. We're okay with spending money. Everyone has already established that we're okay with spending some money. We're okay with buying Timex at $5,000-$7,000 if you're doing it right. And Timex did this 100% right. I don't have a single thing I can say about this watch. So I'm like, oh, I wish they would have done this a little bit different. This is terrific. $750 for the box set. I added it to my bag right now. I don't want protection. Raw dog it. It's available right now.
Yeah, no, it's terrific. You know, for so long, Timex watches were all
cheap shit.
Severely crippled by, you know, bad materials and generic or worse, bad movements. You know, Timex was always sort of like, oh, well, they have this classic aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, they've been around forever.
But no, this is a competitive watch at a competitive price, $750 MSRP on this guy. You know, I maybe could take or leave some of the chartreuse on this thing. And you know, the James cross branding makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I'm sure that plays well. This is a cool, it's a fantastic watch. There's nothing bad to say about it. I agree with you, Andrew.
Yeah, this is hopefully indicative of where Timex is going, because this is what we've been predicting Timex to be going for the last 2 years.
Well, I think it's going to depend on how many of these Timex sells. You know, I've already seen people I know picking these up. So it seems like...
And the cross, the collaboration with James Brand, which is like a true boutique brand. It's a small brand out of Portland, right? Like, I don't know. It's an interesting collaboration. I think it shows some market knowledge and acceptance from Timex that we've kind of been seeing some hinting of, but they're here for us. They're here for watch people right now, and this is demonstrative of that.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's terrific. Have we ever talked about Creedmoor?
The bullet?
Creedor?
Hodor?
Man, I don't think we've ever talked about them because I don't think I've ever resolved how to pronounce it. So Seiko's high, they've got like a luxury brand, Creedor. And Creedor watches tend to be
expensive
and dressy and sexy.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. sort of high end, but always a little like, that's not really for me. Like, they're made for a different market. And But they've got this terrific history, and there's some really interesting watches. Creedor announced a 50th anniversary watch this week, which is a legit Genta design from Creedor's catalog. It's called the Locomotive, which I think the Locomotive wasn't a reference to like the intended use, but rather to the intent of Creedor to sort of push into the future, like we're a locomotive moving.
Anyway. Can't stop us.
Right. This is, you know, maybe this gets lost in translation, but the Creedor Locomotive was released this week, and it's kind of a banger. I mean, shoo, man. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about this. There's only 300 pieces. It's expensive. $12,000 USD. But it's a Genta designed straight out of the 80s, maybe 70s. You know, specifically 1979 is when the original came out. But you've got like these like classic Genta design elements.
But they're not quite polished to where they are now, right? This is early design elements. There's some oddities here.
Well, sure.
Like, there he hasn't quite refined the thing yet.
I mean, I don't know. This to me feels like just pure Genta. And it's a weird watch, right? So instead of having an integrated bracelet, I think you would call this integrated, but it's actually like...
It's X-integrated. It's like, it's disaggregated.
Right. That's right. It's like a segregated bracelet. And the bracelet actually doesn't flow with the case at all. It's a separate piece per Andrew's description.
This is fucking...
You've got a 4 o'clock crown. You've got a hexagonal bezel with exposed screws on it. I mean, there's just a lot going on here.
But it's also not a symmetrical case. It looks asymmetric. This top down makes it look like the 9 o'clock is wider than the 3 o'clock.
I think it's a symmetrical case, but I could be wrong about that. Proportions. So
it looks like the Crash.
Just under 39 millimeters, 38.8, and just under 9 millimeters thick with 100 meters of water resistance. So this thing is both sporty and really elegant. It's got a CRO1 movement, which I think is a new movement. It's a 6L35 architecture-based movement that's pretty. That's pretty, I think.
It is, yeah.
I think is the deal. And you gotta wonder, like, is this a sign of like Creedor sort of saying, hey, we're gonna play ball more than we have in the past? I don't know that this watch is actually playing ball, but I think it's doing something.
It's certainly hanging brain, right? Like it's coming out and saying, we don't give a fuck. And we're going to do some cool stuff from the catalog.
So high-intensity titanium is what they're calling the material they've used. I don't know exactly what that means. I think the original was in steel. I mean, this is kind of a wicked watch.
It's certainly a baller statement piece. And I'm really confident this is an asymmetric case.
You might be right, Andrew. I don't know. I that would surprise me if that was the case. It would be kind of a weird move. Beautiful dial. It's got sort of a sunburst. The dial's a bit of a departure from the original. The original kind of had like a hammered finish, and this one has like a grooved... It's not a sunburst. It's more
like a cross-section of a tree.
Or an orange.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. It's a really lovely texture.
And the watch is terrific. I don't know that I have $12,000 to throw on. In fact, actually, I do know that I don't have $12,000 to throw at this thing. But
could be an optical illusion. It looks asymmetric.
This thing's pretty cool, man.
I wonder if it's the 4 o'clock that like throws off the way you can like interpret the imagery.
Are you still stuck on the asymmetry, Andrew?
Yeah, I can't get over it.
Can we move it along?
And the segregated bracelet is an oddity for me. So being that we're recording on June 5th.
6/5.
Yeah. Which is the eve of the 80th anniversary of Operation Overlord.
Whoa.
Known colloquially as D-Day.
Whoa.
There's a brand that did a special thing in honor of the 80th anniversary of the Allied invasion of France. Procedis released a C-47 A-11 D-Day. And they did a really cool thing. They made the dials out of for this A-11 from doors of C-47s that were a part of the D-Day invasion of France. And barring that special part, these are just A-11s, but these dials cut from the steel of the hamburger doors of these C-47s are just gorgeous. If they made any attempts to pretty them up, I'm going to sneeze. I've sneezed and I'm returning. If they made any attempts to pretty them up or to like polish off these like strange marring and scratching, they did a terrific job, but it looks like just used steel that's been milled out to be a dial. These are gorgeous.
Well, I gotta admit, I haven't read anything about these watches, but wouldn't the doors be made out of aluminum?
Perhaps. The maybe they're aluminum. I don't know.
All right. Well, just
one. Oh yeah, they're aluminum.
No. Okay.
I'm not a doctor. So, 38 millimeter A11s using material from C-47s that participated in Operation Overlord. And they're gorgeous.
Yeah, they did a good job with these.
They're just gorgeous. So they have different versions. They have a khaki version. I think it's just strap. I don't know. Here we go. Aluminum gray or olive green, cut from hamburger doors of two C-47s, sandblasted steel cases, 38 millimeter case, 12.5 thick. That's kind of thick. Double dome sapphire, 90-39 movement, 100 meters of water resistance, better than any paddock in the market, you know, after the beginning of this year. And $550. And so here's the deal. Because they are being cut from things that maybe should be in a museum, there's only 500 of each of the two variants, but they're beautiful. I love them. This is a super cool D-Day kind of commemorative release, being that this is probably, and you know, tomorrow is going to be a big, perhaps the biggest celebration in France of, or what's a honoration? Is that a word?
Memorial? I'm not sure.
Event.
Celebration, sure.
Event associated with D-Day, because it's probably the last big milestone anniversary that will have surviving participants in it. And they're making a really big deal of it. So it's cool to see Procedis doing a release like this in conjunction with a big milestone anniversary of, you know, one of the biggest military warfare endeavors ever undertaken on the planet Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we watched the Private Ryan. I don't know if I talked about this in the show last week. Watch that with the kids, and you know, they don't, there's no way for them to grasp the magnitude of this. But back to the watch quickly, because I think it's an interesting watch. The you know, Procidus, I think, does a really good job with their cases. Their cases
are great.
Their cases look really classic, but also really sharp and modern at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bit of a juxtaposition here between the dial, which appears, I agree with you, it appears to me to be either unfinished or patinaed to look that way.
Like they just milled it out of the door. Like they just punched it.
And then I believe the case back is also distressed with a bit of like a historical looking NSN type stamping. So, you know, they've made some aesthetic decisions here. They combine this really sharp case, sharp modern, I think modern A11 case with this, you know, sort of really pretty vintage looking dial, distressed and vintage looking dial. And markers and a specifically distressed case back. I think it's a nice juxtaposition. I really like these watches. They're fun. They're affordable.
And Procidus does cool stuff. They're a brand that is intriguing to me in what they're doing. And given the brand identity, if you're not familiar with them at all, this is kind of their thing. So mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense that they were able to acquire some memorabilia to do some novelty commemorative watches.
Decagonal?
Decagonal. You're really on that.
Decagonal. Decagonal. Delma? Do you know anything about Delma?
You just want to keep saying dick.
Do you know anything about the brand Delma?
Tell me more.
I think we talked about Delma a while ago when they released their 5,000 meter affordable blue shark watch. This is a really pretty sporty brand. They've made some watches that I think are interesting. They made a watch a few years ago called the Shell Star. That's pretty fun. They've got some pulsometer stuff that's interesting. I think perhaps most famously, though, they've got that 5,000 meter shark for. All that to say, it's a relatively new brand. I think, never mind. I'm not going to say when they're from because they've been around for a long time.
They're a bit of a zombie brand, though. Delma's not... I mean, they're kind of an OG that vanished for a while.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about them to know if they had a down period or not, but maybe they did. Anyway, they released a watch this week called the Midland. The Midland, which is a name that has previously been used by Delma. But this watch, I think, is new, and I think this is pretty interesting, Andrew. So it is a integrated sort of dressy, they're calling it an 80s style integrated sport watch look. It's got sort of a coin edge fluted bezel. Maybe if you're thinking of a Datejust, you're kind of headed in the right direction, but different than that.
Yeah, really different angle on the bezel.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And just a different feel. So this watch, gosh, I almost don't know what to say about it. This is like,
it's like Arkham meets Datejust. It's like if the Arkham, oh gosh, what was his first one? The Instrumentum.
Yeah.
And a Datejust got down.
But weren't quite as weird. Sorry, Ken. You know what I mean?
That's I feel like that. This is the yield of an Instrumentum and a Datejust.
So I've got a monochrome.
Or maybe like a Prince, like a Tudor Prince.
Yeah, that's right. I've got a monochrome article up, and they say a vibe of Miami Vice and Gordon Gekko, which, okay.
Maybe. My assessment is more accurate.
Very steel. kind of chunky, but also like soft and refined looking. It's a 40 and a half millimeter.
Like strong fat, right? Like that dude who you can tell is yoked, but is also like just soft around the edges.
40 and a half millimeter, kind of a barrel shaped case, I'd say, without being a barrel. 10.8 thick, which is a great size for this. 47 millimeters, 100 meters of water resistance. Six colors, all of them good. We got a black, a white, a green, sort of a light, but not Tiffany blue, maybe kind of a cornflower, and then like a copper. We've got all of these, like sort of a nailhead dial, 200-1 movements, and they're 1250, 1,350 US dollars, excuse me.
The shape of this integrated bracelet is really intriguing because it almost makes it like a male end link kind of look,
mm-hmm.
that without being, it's integrated, right?
But it's female. It looks male, but it's female.
Yes.
It actually goes back up into the case.
Yes. It's super intriguing. This is a really cool design. The size is perfect on this. I think with all the specs and the design into this, the price is right. This is very much like a tool sport watch.
Well, it's like
it's kind of an emerging field, like a design language in the industry.
Yeah, maybe. You used to talk about the watch, my watch. This is a my watch. I feel like this is very much
this is dad's watch.
This is the watch, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, dad wore this to swing a hammer. He wore it swimming. He wore it in a suit. He wore it to my wedding.
Like, look, if you want to buy a PRX, but you also want to spend a little bit more money and get something a little nicer.
A little much nicer.
Get this, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with it. I don't super dig the font.
I like it. I actually, you know, I'm a sucker for fonts.
It's a very digital appearing font.
Oh, you mean the automatic font?
All of it. Oh. All the font looks very digital age, and I could have just gone with like a touch softer font.
I really like the Delma logo font, but I see what you're saying. That
it looks like LCD.
The numbers are a little bit digitally.
Yeah, but this isn't an LCD watch. I really like this bezel.
Yeah, me too.
It's like it should be fluted, but it's not, because fuck you. I'm gonna coin edge the top of this.
It kind of reminiscent of like a Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Bezel a little bit. Yeah. These are really cool. Sort of out of nowhere, I was like, what the fuck is this? And
like big gnarly crown guards that also aren't excessive.
Yeah.
Because that's a big crown. And the crown guards are like discreet, but also
6.5 millimeters on that crown.
I'm here for it. Even this cornflower blue. Usually she doesn't do the blue for me the way that I want. But this is
applied numerals. Good sort of baton hands. I don't know if that's what you call them. Stick hands, like wide stick hands. Yeah, this thing's terrific. A little red tip on the seconds hands.
Love a red tip.
And moving on.
Oh, okay. What do I want to talk about next? I want to talk about something. I have some things left. Hamilton Khaki Field Mechanical has expanded their offerings with three new configurations. And was that pornography?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I really like about these releases.
Andrew, hold on. Come on. Hold on. Decagonal. Let's do it again. It takes so long for her to get there.
Decagonal. Yeah, when she's saying dick in the anal, it's like... God, we just made this an X-rated edition.
You did. You did.
You did it. You played it. So here's what I like about these three new releases. You thought they already existed. And that's something that I've always really appreciated about Hamilton is that their releases are always, not always, are more often than not super subtle. They show up and you're like, oh, I thought that was there all along. And why wasn't it? So we have a blue, a white, and a white in bronze with all in steel. They're calling this... So the white is a white loom in lieu of faux teened in the khaki field mechanical. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing... These are khaki field mechanicals, right? These are as simple gets field watches from Hamilton. They are lovely. They're well designed. The finishing is as good as one can get in this
under $1,000.
In this zone.
They're under 10 millimeters thick.
They're perfectly sized. The bronze and white still has fotina. The steel and white is white like that. And that's solving a huge issue. And finally a blue. But when I look at these, I'm like, no, I've seen these before. These have to have existed in the portfolio. And they didn't. I love that Hamilton release of, oh yeah, by the way, we also have this. You've always wanted it. Now here it is. It's nothing special. And I love it. I love this addition to the line. The white on white is hot fire. They are $600 in steel. Mm. The white on white.
And they're less than that. They're actually less than that. I don't. You might not be able to get these for less than that for a couple months, but they're always.
Oh, they're going to show up in the 350, 450 zone. Under five, you'll be able to get these. But the white with the non-fotina is hot fire. And they're terrific. This is a khaki field mechanical, right? Like maybe one of the most perfect watches ever. You got nothing. Okay. What you got next?
I mean, no, I own one of these, right? They're fine. They're great. It's a Hamilton khaki mechanical. I like that they should all be white loom or green loom or whatever they're calling it.
They're perfect.
Louis Erard, we don't ever talk about Louis Erard. Mm-mm. They've got interesting watches.
Because we can't say the name.
They've got I think they did a Constantine Chaikin collab a few years ago that I was like, whoa, that's fucking cool. But you know, I mean, it's like sort of priced out for us. And anyway, they released a watch that I saw it probably about 100 times before I finally clicked. And then I was like, oh. So this is a regulator watch, meaning it's
regulators. Mount up.
Exactly. You've got a central minutes, you've got a small hours and small seconds, hours being at 12, seconds being at 6. The small is actually about half the dial for that disc. It's a really interesting dial layout. But they released a 39 millimeter regulator in stainless steel with a Grand Few. I'm going to say Grand Few enamel dial. Grand Few enameling is this really sort of tricky process that has a lot can go wrong. And so it's an expensive process because not only does it take a long time and it requires these incredibly hot 800 degree kilns and, but you just get a lot of rejects because it doesn't matter how good you are at doing this work, things are going to go wrong. I heard someone describe this process as, or the material as capricious. And I thought, well, that's a great word. That's a good legal, that's a good lawyer word. It's a capricious material to work with. They released a Grand Few. Please feel free to correct me or not if I'm saying it wrong. A Grand Few enamel dialed regulator watch. And it is, hoo-wee. Like I said, I looked at this watch like 10 times. I looked at the headlines before I finally clicked in. And then I was like, oh my God, like you zoom in on this thing. First, the fonts. I'm a sucker for fonts. And the fonts here are chef's kiss.
Yeah, they're arousing.
And then you've got this combination of black and gray that is so subtle as to be almost unnoticeable until you zoom in. And then if you've ever seen an enamel dial, enamel is smooth and delicate and shiny.
And like sumptuous. It is like, it has
sumptuous.
Like a, yeah.
It looks deep too. It like looks like you could like
plunge into it. Yeah. It's the thing that enamel does is not like the thumbnail that's visible in this photograph.
And so the dial maker here, I'm not going to, yeah. I'm not going to
trim your nails before you take macros where your fingernails are visible.
I'm not going to attempt to say the name of this person, but he's a local dial maker who's been doing this for ages.
And his dad did this, and his dad did this, and his dad did this.
Perhaps. I don't know any of that. But this watch, so they're $5,000, which is a lot. And
just for the artistry of an enamel dial, though, like the labor that goes into it, that's what you're paying for enamel.
They've got a SW266-1, which is an elaborate grade 31 jewel 4 hertz movement. I think it's a stunning movement. There was one detail about this watch that kind of stuck out to me, and I was like, what? So it's a 39 millimeter, I would call this a dress watch.
Certainly.
A 39 millimeter with a 46 millimeter lug to lug dress watch. It is almost 13 millimeters thick.
It's also not super legible.
I do. Anytime I ever hear someone complain about legibility, I want to punch them in the face.
No, there are three hands to tell the same time. You have to, Andrew, you have to read three hands. There's a second, a minute, and an hour.
Come here. No, I mean, come on. Who cares? Legibility? Fuck off. Just fuck off.
No, it's not like stuff. Nighthawk legibility. It's like you have to comprehend three hands.
Shut up.
That are not.
Stop talking.
Stacked.
Stop saying words with your mouth hole.
Okay.
It's stupid. Who cares?
It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous dress watch. It's.
But 13 millimeters? I just can't fathom.
It's the dome. It looks like it's the dome, at least.
I don't see that it's got like a big domed crystal.
I don't know. It might also be. It might require weird movement stacking to put three hands in three locations rather than centralized.
That's possible. Yeah, that's possible. And actually, I don't know much about regulator movement, so you might be right. There may be something going on with the module there. Anyway, 13 millimeters, I was like, ew. But the rest of this thing, yes, please.
I love that onion crown on it. It's a gorgeous fucking watch.
And Louis Erard does these fir tree hands that they've done here, which are...
Yeah, everything about it is... Heat-glued
fir tree hands.
Yeah. Super attractive.
All right, that's all I have to say about it.
Good. I want to talk about Serica, which is a brand we don't talk about enough because they are hot fire. So Serica has updated their dial of the 6190, included a chronometer movement on it, continued the bond clip, and so white and black, whatever. This storm gray, holy shit. This is a gorgeous watch. And I've said it before, it's almost like it's got like a little bit of taupe to it.
Yeah,
it
it's like an FDE type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. This color is gorgeous. And, you know, I always really liked the general view of Serica. Their design language is something I like. I was always kind of concerned about the bracelet, and I put one on a couple years ago, and it was just fantastic. This is a great release. These are coming in at $1,000.
Cheap.
$1,000? Yeah. 1,090 euros, so $84. Cost chronometer movement. 37.7 millimeter case, 10-4 thick, 200 meters of water resistance. Like, these are dope. What Serica is doing is really, really special to be capturing this 1950s design language with really, really modern specs is awesome.
Serica is super underrated, but just leave it at that, right? It's yep. one of the most underrated watch brands out there.
100%. It's because they're French.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
Never used, dropped once.
Andrew, we've got more. We've got like, I think there are 10 watches that we didn't get to, but we got to cut it off.
Okay.
We're at an hour. Cut it off.
Yeah, we're done.
Other things, what do you got?
Oh, so I usually like, I buy a lot of disposable things where I'm like, I know this will last me 10 uses. I know it'll last me a year. I'm just going to go cheap because I'm okay spending $100 a year for a new string trimmer rather than like $250 for 5 years of a string trimmer. I've been doing that with a wireless thermometer to use in my grill for, I don't know, 15 years. I finally did some review hunting and I got a ThermoPro TP20 meat thermometer. And it has now officially lasted me more than a year. I haven't burnt it out. I haven't wrecked it. Because that's the other thing. It's like I'm sometimes kind of careless with my shit and I just ruin it. And there are objectively better ones. Like Meter is sort of the thing that everyone loves, but they're $100. This is 50. And it is doing the thing for me. It's half the price. I haven't had to replace it in a year. That's a big one. And it's great. And I kind of like the...
You can get a Meter for $70 on Prime.
Okay.
You can get a 4-pack for $200.
So spend $30 extra, get a Meter. I like not having my phone attached to it, like the Not app thing.
I see. It's because it's got a readout.
It has a home station.
Yeah.
I like having that because I put on my apron. I've got my phone in one pocket. I've got my thermometer readout in another one. I've got like just kind of shit in my pockets. I like that. And I really appreciate the functionality of an app-based platform, right? Like my Masterbuilt has an app and I use it. And I would way rather have an independent readout it's just for that. And when I'm done with it, I put it back in the drawer. When I'm going to use it, I pull it out and put it in my pocket. I don't know what that is. I don't like, that's just a thing. I prefer not to be using my phone for the application, but this ThermoPro is money. It's doing all the things that I want. I also have one of the just manual meat probes from ThermoPro. And they're kind of they're an economy brand in the space and they work great.
Yeah.
So $50, a wireless, it has a, like if you want to use your phone, get a Meter. If you don't want to use your phone, like if you want to be able to just set it down and also have other people in your house monitoring your temperature,
mm-hmm.
This is money. Super accurate. I haven't burned it out. It's been in high temps. It's been in low temps. It's been in temp at like for periods of time and it has not yet failed.
In terms of a probe, I'll just quickly just say I've had a Thermopop 2 for years, or maybe it was the original Thermopop. I've had a Thermopop probe for years. I think I spent $35 on it, and that's probably the best cooking investment I've ever made in my life.
Up until this point, I've had probably six $15 versions that work really well until they don't, and then they don't, and that becomes problematic. I have not had the don't experience yet with this.
That's how I feel about my Thermopop. Mm-hmm. I bought that. I spent $35, and I've just been in my drawer. I pull it out. The battery hasn't even died. It's just... it's just like fucking brilliant. So that's a good recommendation, Andrew. I've got another thing. It's a podcast. It's called Beyond All Repair.
Ooh.
It's a podcast from WBUR Public Radio. I don't know where WBUR is out of, but I also don't care. This is a true crime podcast. It feels a lot to me like the overall vibe is a lot like Serial season one, the Adnan.
It's east of the Mississippi.
Adnan, that's right. Yeah, because of the W. The Adnan Syed story that was Rachel Koenig's season one of Serial, you know, that kind of caught the nation's attention.
To true crime. Like Serial did a thing.
Yeah, that's right. And it was sort of like this fellow who had been convicted of murdering his girlfriend. And then it seemed like there was all these prosecutorial problems. And over time, it's sort of, I think the public opinion has maybe kind of changed on the story. Anyway, that's not the story. So this Beyond All Repair has a really similar vibe. So you come in on a phone call between a brother and a sister, and... at the end of the day, this brother winds up going to the police and saying, hey, my sister killed her mother-in-law. And the story is all about this reporter unpacking, and her name is Amory. Oh, shoot.
I'm looking.
Amory Sivertson. And she's the one who hosts the podcast. She's terrific, but it's all about sort of her unpacking the story. And she did this over the course of about 3 years. This family has some dysfunction, as you might imagine. There's these three kids and they're all sort of different age, much different. But the way the story has been unpacked. So I've been really careful. So I'm on episode 9 now, which is the penultimate episode, and I'm right in the middle of it.
I love that word, penultimate. Penultimate. It's one of my favorite.
It's a good one.
Describer.
Second to last.
Words. What's that? What's a describer word?
An adjective?
No, an adjective's. Oh, yeah, I guess an adjective.
Here's what I'll say: the shoes have started to drop in the story.
They be fallen.
And what they've done with this it's really good, and I recommend it. But what they do with this is, a lot of times these podcasts will sort of like really sort of let the cat out of the bag early. This thing has continued to surprise you as you move along. The story that they've released parts of the story really deliberately. And I think that a cynical view would be to say that they're kind of like tricking you or they're hiding the ball, but it's been fun to listen to, which is all I care about, right? It's been entertaining.
That's the thing.
The entertainment value has been incredibly high. And so here I am, like I said, in episode 9, the theme of episode 9 has just dropped. I've got one episode left and I still don't know that I know the story, right? And I'm not sure I'll know it after episode 9 either, but again, I don't want to let too much out, but there's a murder, a really horrific murder that actually happened, and so just fair warning, that is the centerpiece of this, but the way that the story has been unveiled to us has been absolutely terrific. One of the best sort of told story podcasts I've listened to in a very long time. I am doing the thing where I get to work and I sort of sit in the car for an extra 5 minutes because I want to get to a natural segue. It's been terrific. So WBUR, the podcast is called Beyond All Repair. Amory Sievertson about Sophia and Sean Caraya and the murder that they were sort of jointly accused of committed in the early 2000s, and the story of that. Really terrific. If you like true crime, if you like this sort of thing, I highly recommend checking it out.
I like that.
Andrew, is there anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, I'm out of things.
All right. Well, look, I want to thank you guys once again for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Why don't you do me a favor? Go to our website, watchclicker.com. That's where we post articles and reviews and other written things about watches, but also every single episode of this podcast. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that on Instagram at watchclicker or at 40and20_watchclicker. There's photos and updates and things that you may get on social media. If you want to support us, and look, this is important. We need support. We need support to keep doing what we're doing. You can do that at patreon.com/40and20. All of you who are already there helping us out, we love you so much. Thank you. If not, consider going and dropping a buck. And don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.